just a few questions. To start off with the dialogue mobile group, maybe you can note it down. That Axiata loan, what is the status of it? Is it going to be converted into equity? What's the conversion price, etc.? What do you think is going to be the impact of Etisalat buying Tigo? And I missed it somewhere, maybe what is the EBITDA margin now on Dialog Mobile? Was that presented, the margin itself?
89% at Dialog Telecom Company.
Right, so you're up from about 24%.
About 2 percentage points quarter on quarter.
From last quarter.
Yeah.
But from your low point?
Yeah, it went down low as 9%.
9%, okay. So from last quarter, you are up from 27%
yes,
to 29%.
Yes.
So what is the visibility on that improving going forward? Maybe the margin itself?
It's most of the cost initiatives are helping in a big way, and then the revenue trend also has a significant role to play going forward. So once the usage comes back, as we have seen, will help the EBITDA margin. The flow rates also again helping to maintain the price levels in the industry. We see an improvement. We see that we can touch again improve similar trends going forward.
About 2% a quarter.
Yeah, provided that the economy and everything holds.
Okay. And how much impact will this roaming revenue? Now the tourism season is coming up next quarter. How much of a impact will that have?
We have seen about 15 to 20% improvement as of now compared to the last year, same period.
Mm-hmm.
But again, roaming is also under pressure in terms of pricing because operators undercut each other, so the margins are getting squeezed there.
Mm-hmm.
But positive signs from the revenue angle.
Okay. So maybe on Axiata loan and Etisalat's impact of buying Tigo.
Yeah, also, just comment on the EBITDA. If you look at India. Now the Indian margins were around 31%. Even Bharti was at 31% EBITDA margin in spite of the scale. And I think the next two quarters we might expect Indian EBITDA margins to be dropping below the 30s. So given our sort of quarter-on-quarter improvement, I would still say that there would be a ceiling in terms of margin in the lower 30s. That is, if you get to the lower 30s at these price levels, which are comparable to Indian price levels, I think you're doing well.
Can you interconnect settlement they have in India, right? So you can't directly compare the margins.
Yeah. Well,
they have a larger base number, right? The revenues will.
I'm not sure whether they report it on net interconnect or on gross. That I'm not 100% sure. Okay, on the Axiata loan, no, there is no no plan to capitalize it in a dilutive sense. And if there was, then that would be done with a, you know, taking into cognizance the minority stake and at what price. That's a long decision process. There was no such. That's the reason it wasn't capitalized and hasn't been capitalized, and there's no plan to capitalize it right now. But to classify it as quasi debt equity so that the ratios and the loan covenants for external borrowing can be secured, that is what we are looking at the moment.
My sense is, Hans, that there will be an overhang always as long as you don't know the status of it, because that can significantly dilute your EPS. So it's better if the company comes out and gives out its plan sooner than later, so that we can at least factor that in.
Okay, I think I'm at liberty to say that openly here, that the very reason it wasn't capitalized even at very low, you know, share price levels was sensitivity to the minority stake. And therefore, there's no intention to do that without a parity being sought and a discussion. On Etisalat, buying Tigo, I think Etisalat typically is a cash-rich operator. They pay a lot for licenses. Some markets we can look at where they were challengers rather than incumbent or greenfield players. One is in Egypt, and to some extent in Saudi. where they went in late. So I think they're a good from a technology point of view, from an experience point of view, Etisalat has all the attributes of a good player. And likewise Tigo. Tigo was, in our view, an exceptionally good player in its former incarnation. So therefore, I think Tigo will continue to be very competitive and continue to pressure us, especially in the prepaid market. We may see them moving a little bit into the postpaid market also now with Etisalat. Would we take it seriously? Yes. It's a strengthening of an already good competitor.
A lot of questions on the broadband. I noticed that you have only 183,000 subscribers for the last few quarters. Have you stopped customer acquisition there? And what is the status of your fiber optic rollout?
I think it also explains the revenue drop at DBN, which was due to the reduction in connection fee revenue, not in usage revenue. Connection fee revenue is basically the connection fee when you sell a connection with either a broadband connection or a CDMA phone. Now, over the last 3 quarters, we have taken a policy decision not to subsidize extensively because the market again was going crazy. CDMA connections were going at 2,000, 3,000 rupees for an ARPU of 200 rupees. And the churn as well as the loss on the handset was adding up, and looking at our competition as well, we thought we'll stop this trend early rather than burn ourselves the same way competition is burning. So what we've done is move the broadband and fixed line. We've taken a decision to move to high ARPU segments, slow down acquisition, but acquire good customers, good enterprises and SMEs, and apply our subsidies, if any, in a very strategic and targeted sense. So therefore, you see revenues and subscriber numbers not growing as fast as they did. But I think usage revenues are growing.
It's a presidential task force on taxation. What did you tell them?
We've addressed a few points, mainly to do with VAT and the treatment of repeat investment. This is a problem not only for us. I think many others have put that in as well, because if you are a company with sizable repeat investments with their own lumpy cash flows or delayed cash flows, then the 85% limit on VAT claims affects companies who reinvest, whereas if you are a new company, you get a 2-year or three-year period over which you can claim up to 100%. So that's one of the requests we have made. And of course, indirect taxation. We are 33% on mobile and fixed.
Are you expecting anything?
Supun has been
still actually at the submission stage. Too early to comment in terms of how the process is going to be, but it's a positive sign, at least at this stage, to see industry we saw in terms of the pain points.
So was it an industry based proposal you all put in, or
it's our own proposal?
Own proposal.
Any other questions?
Hi, Reza Magnismal from First Guardian Equities. Firstly, thanks for your time. I just have two questions. One is, we could get just here as to management's outlook for the next couple of quarters, and at group level, when do you expect to be at profitable from next quarter or quarter after next? And secondly, what are the operational cost improvements you all have identified, additionally to what you all have been implementing, or how much more is there to take?
Okay, I can't give a guidance on the earnings, but on the OPEX, I would say that we sketched out, or rather set out, a strategic cost rescaling program starting almost 1 year ago, and we've been chipping away at various elements of cost, some which had short-term impact, others which have longer-term impact as well as longer-term execution cycles. So this program is going well, and that these are the results you're seeing quarter on quarter. There are a few more outcomes we expect over the next few quarters, especially on the network, energy efficiencies, as well as annual maintenance contracts, renegotiating supplier contracts, which take some time. So it's an overarching kind of exercise. And so far we are very encouraged, and assuming that the trend on interest rates and the trend on fundamentals from the cost base continues to improve, I don't see why not, or rather I don't see why not we can't continue this trend for, like I answered Murtaza, a few more points on the EBITDA margin. There would come a ceiling. I don't think we can draw a straight line to the sky, but a few more points on EBITDA margin certainly achievable. We slowed down a little bit due to the cash priorities, but it's back on the road, so to speak. The Colombo network, especially, we commissioned the first 150 kilometers within the Colombo metro, but we are moving ahead with further expansions. On outstation, there were two bids, or one bid that came out on the railways, and we'll be participating in that. And also there's a national backbone network advertised by the TRC and the World Bank. So there are many parallel initiatives or potentially potential cost reduction routes to building the rest of the national backbone. So we have built around 150 again on the national backbone, and we hope to complete that as well. So it's moving, but it was slowed down due to cash. Jaffna Peninsula is very distinct from the rest of the province. Jaffna Peninsula, we already had a very vibrant operation. We've expanded it over the last few months, and that's running very well. From the recent liberated areas, as you know, we were the first to go in, and we have comprehensive coverage, I think, apart from few spots here and there. Most areas have dialogue coverage, outdoor at least. And we will, by the time the resettlement completes, I think we'll have an excellent service there. Again, even with prior to resettlement, we are seeing large revenues. The base stations are full most of the time.
What is Hans happening on the incoming calls? Is there a pickup in volumes, or is the grey market increasing?
Yes, there's some improvement in traffic, but a lot of controls have been put in, a lot of effort to control grey traffic. Given the reduction in tariffs in the market, grey operators are also getting active. So we are running 24/7 operation to control grey. And then grey effort is also growing, on the other hand, because the 11 rupee termination charge gives a lot of motivation for grey players to actively try and penetrate into our systems.
So, the 11 rupees, it expired, right, the 5 years, what happened?
Is
it
the TRC extended it, the finance minister extended it till 31st December 2009. It was supposed to expire 31st March, but the government extended till 31st December 2009, and they are reviewing whether they should reduce it or continue at the same rate.
And what is Dialogue's view?
We feel that it could come down, a certain portion of it could come down. So then
my question is, what did you tell the government? You want a free market to exist, or you want a minimum cap?
Our position is that today VGF has 380. As VGF, and then the operators are eligible to claim back 2/3 of it for rural rollout, and we have been claiming that. What we have suggested is that you can do away with the 240 and then can take the 120 or the 1/3 of the VGF and reduce the VGF by 2/3 and give the operator the freedom to decide that rate.
could you elaborate a little on the working capital improvements that you've made?
What we have done is we have renegotiated most of the facilities we were having with the banks, and also automated some of the collection processes over the last 6 months, 1 year. So we, given more visibility in terms of our cash flows and the collections, and also with all the renegotiations, like we have negotiated the rates, etc. Recently, like we implemented a system with Citibank that's underway. So we're looking at further improvements with like our major foreign banks like Deutsche Bank, Standard Chartered, and HSBC.
Were there any significant tax receivables that moved, maybe?
The tax, yes. The VAT, we got an outstanding amount, you know, the refund. There are certain part we are getting, because for 2000 and last 2 years, 2007 and 2008, it's, you know, that we have that 15% rule because of that. But we have recovered quite a lot because of the investment. But 2006 is still pending.
If that is to be recovered, how much can you expect in the next couple of quarters?
Yeah, if the government decides to pay that, yeah, we will collect about $6-7 million. But other one, that's the point that Hans brought up earlier, like this is the money that would have invested otherwise in the business. So because of this 85% rule, that money is held up. And also, like before the industry, like Hans, we made several representations to the ministry as far as 1.5 years ago on this issue. But at least we can see that it's on the right direction. They're willing to listen, and hopefully we'll get this money soon.
Any other questions?
Dialog Mobile, how has the performance been regionally? I mean, has the end of the war really added anything to your top line?
Not a significant change compared to end of war, but we are seeing improved connections coming from the regions. We have done some changes in terms of our regional operations, and that is helping our acquisition, as you have seen from the numbers that we have done in Q3 versus Q2. We are improving, winning market share in the regions. That is a very positive sign, East, Northeast, as well as the other regions. And we have strengthened the regional sales operation to support that.
Continuing on that, now for your prepaid sales outlets, would like, you know, the North and East shops and, you know, other retailing outlets with established addresses, you know, not being significantly present, do you have any strategy to address that?
Is it talking of reload outlets?
Yes, I'm talking about, yeah,
reload outlets are freely available wherever there are outlets in the North and the East.
Okay.
The reload system is working and operating.
Last question, can you give me a guidance as to the number of break-even units for broadband and TV?
Broadband is quite a mix. It's difficult to separate, because in DBN, if you look at the DBN numbers, there's fiber infrastructure there. The group fiber asset is parked in DBN. Likewise, there's broadband, fixed line, data links, VPNs, enterprise solutions, and all that. So I won't work a break even on any one product for DBN. DTV, again, if you run at the current ARPU level, then you would be looking at close to 300,000 for double what we have to do. But the key thing is the speed at which we can acquire that. During the economic downturn, what we found was a very depressed demand, and the effort to sell and the time to sell and adoption were very, very slow. In the first few months, in the first 7 or 8 months of DTV's existence, we sold around 80,000 items, about 10 a month. So, 7 to 10 a month was possible. And
halfway through 2007, demand just dipped with the economy turning. Has been a slow and hard slog since then. But we are seeing signs now of growth. Consumers who said the wait and see are actually calling and picking it up.
What has the ARPU been for TV?
700.
Hi, I just want to touch on this number portability. If the law is actually passed, to what extent will it affect your competitiveness? And do you all have a contingency plan in hand?
Yeah, number portability will come. When is the question? Any mature industry should, and we support it. We expect from the day number portability is officially set in motion, it could take 12 to 18 months. So we are looking at maybe towards the end of 2010 at the earliest from implementation of our platform. Contingency, I think we have been a very strong postpaid player, and our investments in customer service, in brand, in shops, in coverage, all those attributes which postpaid customers want have been far, far greater than any of our competitors. So in that sense, we are an experienced postpaid player, and we will retain all those strengths. In South Asian markets, has number portability done anything? Not really. It doesn't. Maybe 5 or 10% here and there. But in many cases, the market leader has wiped out the others because the strengths, the scale, and those customer service investments, which are fairly intangible, but in the other day, are difficult to build. So once you have that, to take out the postpaid customers of weaker players is a better proposition than a weaker player trying to take away from the large operators. In the UK, for example, Vodafone gained at the point of number portability. In Malaysia, similar. With number portability, there's hardly any difference, but the gainer was always the market leader.
Any other questions? Okay. On behalf of Dialog Telecom, we'd like to thank you for attending the third quarter 2009 Investor Forum. There are some refreshments that will be served at the back, and we invite you to join in. Thank you very much for coming.